Well, we started a new series last week called Fresh Start, where we are looking at going through the book of Matthew and starting at the very beginning, looking at the beginning, the start of the ministry of Jesus, his life and his ministry. And Jesus's life and ministry shows us how to spiritually reset and start fresh in our relationship with God. We looked at that last week. And this week, we are talking about how we talked about how a fresh start leads to a fresh life last week. If you missed it, you can go and you can watch it online on the church app as well. This week, we are talking about how a fresh start includes a fresh baptism, a fresh baptism. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 3. We're going to be in 5 verses today, okay? So it's only one hand of verses. We can all handle it, I think. Verses 13 through 17. And this is what it says. It says, "Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it." Anybody ever try to talk Jesus out of something? Like he tells you something to do and you try to talk him out of it? John tried it. He says this, "I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you. So why are you coming to me?" And Jesus said, "It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." What a vague answer. So John agreed to baptize him. And after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." You may have heard this story about Jesus's baptism before. It's in every single one of the Gospels, but it can also be a little confusing. And we're going to try to unpack what this story really entails. When we talk about water baptism, you may be like, "Pastor Brandon, why are you preaching a whole message about water baptism?" Because we believe in two specific ordinances of the church. You may have heard them as sacraments. We call them ordinances. The two commands that are given by Jesus to the church is one, what is the, I forgot the first one. The first one is communion, to receive, to partake in communion. The second one is water baptism, water baptism. The two commandments from Jesus. We're going to see how those two things connect together today. But that's why Jesus commands us as his followers to be baptized in water. So it's important for us to know why this is so important. It seems important for Jesus, and I don't know about you, but anytime I have read this passage of scripture in the past, it is a little bit confusing. I would be lying if I didn't say that this passage of scripture and other passages confuse me. I don't know everything as a pastor. Well, I understood that Jesus's baptism somehow related to my own water baptism. I never really understood more than that. Why did Jesus have to be baptized? Anybody asked that question before? Like, that's what John was saying. He was so confused. He was like, "Jesus, you're the Messiah. I'm supposed to be baptized by you, but you want me to baptize you." You see, I've always thought that John's line of questioning in this passage of scripture was actually really good. Like, "Yeah, Jesus, you're supposed to baptize us." And Jesus says, no. "Hang on a second. No, you need to baptize me." Jesus' response to John, it has always been confusing, saying, "It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." Seriously, what a vague answer from Jesus. Like, he literally just plays the God card on John. John says, "Hey, I don't know if I should baptize you or not. You should be baptizing me." And he goes, "God said to do it, so you better do it." That's basically what Jesus is saying. It's like, how are you going to argue with God, right? You can't do it. But I hope to clear up some misunderstandings as we look at this topic of Jesus' baptism. But here's the main thought that I want you to catch from Jesus' baptism is this. Water baptism declares our fresh start in Christ when we give our lives to him, when we repent and turn to God, turn from our sin. It declares our fresh start in Christ because water baptism always points to Jesus. Always. It always points to Jesus. This is the purpose of being baptized in water. It's not just a ritualistic symbol. It's not just some thing that we do for religious practice. It's not what actually saves you. It points you and other people back to Jesus. Points you back to Jesus. And there's four different ways that it points us back to Jesus, and we're going to look at that. But think about this. Last week, we talked about how a lot of times there's something that happens that causes us to have a fresh start, right? Maybe you're changing jobs, moving houses, or whatever. Well, I want you to try to catch this point like this. Whenever you move, you normally, if you're moving across the country, what's going on? Oh, well, there's nothing we can do about it. If you're watching online, sorry, you're looking at the wall right now. I don't know what else to tell you. Apparently, the Lord thought the wall was better than my face. So you guys are looking at the wall. But you can still listen. You can still listen. Just go ahead and put up the computer slides and cover the camera. Thanks for catching that. So imagine this, right? You're moving houses. You're getting a fresh start. You're moving across the country, or you're moving to a new town. And the first thing that you do whenever you've gotten everything packed up in your house, it's all clean, it's orderly, you got everything that you're ready to take with you, is you get a moving truck. And that moving truck goes into your front yard. And then, inevitably, all of your neighbors know you are moving, right? If you have a moving truck in your front yard, you're moving. That's when you really know who the good neighbors and the bad neighbors were, because if they see a moving truck in your yard and they come and offer help, you know that you have been blessed by good neighbors. If you don't hear a lick of a word from anybody, you know it's a good move for you. But the point is, the moving truck, it's pointing others to a fresh start in your life, the fact that you're moving. You think about wedding rings, right? Why are wedding rings so important? Because wedding rings point people to your spouse, that I'm taken, that I've given a covenant, a commitment to somebody else who matters to me in my life. And likewise, water baptism, it points us to Jesus. It is something physical that shows that we have made a commitment, a covenant to somebody who matters in our life. It points us to Jesus. Like I said, there's four things in this passage of scripture that Jesus's baptism reveals that's important for us as followers of Christ to know about why water baptism is so important. The first thought is this: water baptism points to Jesus because water baptism reveals the start of Jesus's ministry. It reveals the start of Jesus's ministry. If you remember back to last week's message, we talked about how John the Baptist's ministry was literally to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. And his entire message was summed up by this one phrase, right? Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And when somebody confessed their sins, John would then baptize them in the Jordan River to symbolize that they had been repentant and are awaiting the coming Messiah. So John baptizing Jesus was in part to signify that Jesus was the Messiah. And John's job was done because the ministry of Jesus was about to start. In fact, when you look at all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see that Jesus' baptism is in all four Gospels, each one of them. But it's interesting about where they are placed. They're actually placed a little bit different in the chronological story, because not each gospel is all about just a genealogical account of Jesus' ministry. But what is interesting about each placement of this story is that Jesus' baptism always occurs before Jesus ever does a miracle. Before he does a miracle, before he teaches in the synagogue, before he prays for the sick, before he turns water into wine, he was baptized in the Jordan River. It signified that Jesus' ministry, the Messiah, was about to start what God had called him to do. Very first thing. Now, why is it important for Jesus' baptism to signify the start of his ministry? Because water baptism also signifies our fresh start in Christ. It signifies that we have turned from our sin. We have repented and we have turned towards Jesus. And we are now starting fresh, walking in the newness of life that he brings. Water baptism signifies the start of Jesus' ministry, but it also signifies the start of our relationship with God. Just like a moving truck signifies you are moving. That's what water baptism does. It's not what actually saves you. You confessing of your sins, repenting, and turning to God is what saves you. Water baptism says, I am starting this new life, this fresh life with Christ. Now that's awesome that that's what water baptism does. But it does more than that too. This right here I think is absolutely awesome. I'm going to nerd out a little bit. I hope you guys follow along with me, because I really enjoy it. It's going to be good. The second thing that Jesus' baptism does is this. Jesus' baptism reveals the truth of Scripture. It reveals the truth of Scripture. You see, as followers of Jesus, we believe that the Bible is the true word of God, right? That it is the inerrant, inspired word of God, that God spoke to about 40 different men over thousands of years, putting this story of how we as humans are supposed to relate with God, our Creator. And as we're going to see in a minute, there are so many interwoven intricacies within these stories of over 40 different men. There's no way over thousands of years they could have come together to make it all work out. It's impossible. Water baptism, it reveals the truth of Scripture. It reveals that we're starting fresh in our relationship with God, and that the word of God is true. Last week, we looked at Ezekiel chapter 36 and how it was the Jewish custom for Gentiles or for non-Jews to be baptized in water whenever they wanted to change their citizenship from their country and join the nation of Israel. They had to be baptized in water. Deny their former nation, their former self, not to put any other gods that they used to worship before them, but to proclaim their faith in Yahweh, the Lord of Israel. So one of the things that Jesus' baptism fulfills is the promise in Ezekiel that all nations will be saved, not just Israel. You see, before Jesus wanted to do ministry on the earth, he wanted to make sure everybody knew that he was coming to save all nations. Now again, Matthew is writing to a primarily Jewish audience, right? So this is really important for him to get across. Hey, the Messiah is not just coming for you to become this physical king, like the King of England who's now being coronated and all of these things. No, the Messiah, it far transcends an earthly king. He's not just coming for the Jews. He is coming for all nations. So Jesus being baptized symbolizes that in Ezekiel 36, that all who call on his name, profess faith in Christ, will be saved. But Jesus' baptism also fulfills scripture found somewhere else in Leviticus chapter 16. This is where we will see just how Jesus came, not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. That we see truth in scripture. In Leviticus chapter 16, the book of Leviticus, it's literally called the book of law. And in this book, there's all types of laws and regulations that Israel had to follow when it came to worshiping God, consecrating themselves, consecrating the temple. In fact, if you're on Facebook, you may have seen some things on Facebook where somebody says like, oh, in Leviticus, it says that thou shalt not have tattoos. And then right before it, it says thou shalt not wear mixed linens and all of these things. And people try to use it to, you know, say that the Bible is hypocritical and it doesn't make sense and we pick and choose what we follow. That's not true, because Jesus fulfilled the law. We're going to see that in Leviticus 16. This is what it says regarding the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement, God gave these laws concerning the Day of Atonement after Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu. Say those names five times fast. Nadab and Abihu, Nadab and Abihu, Nadab and Abihu. Sounds like you live in the bayou. Nadab and Abihu disobeyed God and burned unconsecrated fire that was not declared holy for God, in the tabernacle. And God knew that he could not count on the priests to always remain pure and holy. He says, it doesn't matter who I put in charge, you cannot save yourselves. And he needed a different way for all of Israel to be cleansed of their sins. So he established this Day of Atonement. And this is what he tells Moses concerning the Day of Atonement. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu, who died after they entered the Lord's presence and burned the wrong kind of fire before him. The Lord said to Moses, warn your brother Aaron not to enter the most holy place behind the inner curtain whenever he chooses. For if he does, he will die. For the ark's cover, the place of atonement, it's important, is there. And I myself am present in the cloud above the atonement cover. I just want you to catch that real quick. In Leviticus, in the law, God says he is present in the cloud above the atonement cover. Okay, next slide, please. When Aaron enters the sanctuary area, he must follow these instructions fully. He must bring a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He must put on his linen tunic and the linen undergarments worn next to his body, and he must tie the linen sash around his waist and put on the linen turban on his head. These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself in water before he puts them on. Okay, now this is the law, the book of law, and God says before Aaron goes and he submits the sacrifice for the Day of Atonement, which what that was one day a year, there would be two goats that were offered. One would be forgiven, just like Christ forgives us. The other one is what we would call the transference of guilt, right? That in the Old Testament law, God, for whatever reason, set up to sacrifice animals to forgive us of our sins, because without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So then the other goat would have all of the sin of Israel, every person in the nation, transferred to them, and it would be killed. And that would satisfy the sin for the year of all of the Israelites. So before Aaron could do this, the most holy thing he does all year, he has to go and bathe himself in water. You could say he has to baptize himself in water. He has to tie linen garments around him, and then he can offer the sin offering. Okay, this is what the Old Testament says. But Jesus reveals the truth. He fulfills the law. What we just read is the rituals that Aaron had to do before he could offer a sin offering to God on behalf of Israel. And there are two events of Jesus' life that are parallel to what is supposed to happen during the Day of Atonement. I want you to catch this. The first event is this. It occurs on the day of fulfillment, or the day that Jesus fulfilled what he came to do on the cross, on the earth, and the day of his death. Just like Aaron was supposed to bring a young bull for a sin offering, Jesus became our sin offering when he died on the cross. Right? 2 Corinthians says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So when Jesus went to the cross, he became the sin offering that Aaron had to cleanse himself for before he could offer. What did Jesus do? Jesus was baptized. He was cleansed. We also see that Aaron was to put on linens, undergarments, tunic, a sash, and a turban. Matthew 27:59 says this, likewise, when Jesus was placed in the tomb after his death, he wore linens. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth. You see, Aaron had to wrap himself in linen in order to prepare himself to bring the sacrifice. But Jesus had to wrap himself in linen to show that he had become the sacrifice. This is the first event that we see in Leviticus 16 that Jesus fulfills. He became the sacrifice, and he prepared himself for the sacrifice by being wrapped in linen cloth. But this is only the first event that connects Jesus' ministry to the Day of Atonement. You see, before Aaron could put on the linen garments and bring the sacrifice on behalf of Israel, before he could do that, he had to bathe himself in water. Likewise, before Jesus could put on the linens and become our sacrifice, he had to be baptized in water. To fulfill this scripture that the Day of Atonement is the day that he dies on the cross for the sins of the world. But not only that, look at this in Leviticus 16:2. for the ark's cover, the place of atonement, which atonement means restitution, right? Restitution. The place of restitution, the place where things come together, where what was wrong is now made right. There at the place of atonement is the ark's cover, the place of atonement is there, and I myself am present in the cloud above the atonement cover. Now look parallel to Matthew 3:16. After Jesus' baptism, as he's coming up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. What do we see here? We see that Jesus is our atonement. He is our restitution. He has paid the price and penalty of sin in full. Not only did he forgive it, but he paid it with his life. And what we see, just like God says, I am present in the cloud above the atonement cover, we see God the Father present in the heavens, in the clouds, above Jesus. He is our atonement. He's our reparations, our reconciliation to God, who is present in the heavens. Saying to Jesus, this is my plan for salvation. This is the Messiah, the Savior of the world who has come to take away our sins. God is showing that all the way back in Leviticus, this was his plan for the Messiah. Jesus' baptism, it fulfills the scriptures in a powerful way. Not just by symbolizing the start of his earthly ministry, but also revealing to us that he came to bring all nations into a relationship with God and to be the ultimate sacrifice for our sins so we could be reconciled back to God. So why is Jesus' water baptism so important? Because it reveals that he is fulfilling the law. He is fulfilling the Day of Atonement. No longer do we have to sacrifice animals whenever we need to ask forgiveness of sin, because Jesus is our atonement. Jesus is our sin offering. Jesus is the one who forgives us and sets us free. That's powerful. John had no idea. When Jesus said, we have to do this to fulfill all of God's righteousness, that this is what he was talking about. It makes so much more sense now. It fulfills, Jesus' baptism fulfills the scriptures in a powerful way. Not just symbolizing the start of his ministry, but like I said, that he is the ultimate sacrifice for our sins so we can be reconciled back to God. The third thing that we see about Jesus' water baptism is this, that his water baptism reveals the fullness of God. We see that he fulfills scripture, he reveals the truth of scripture, he starts his earthly ministry, but he also reveals the fullness of God. Look at verses 16 and 17. It says, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. See, at Jesus' baptism, we get a glimpse of the Trinity all together in one physical and geographical place. And we're going to be going more in depth onto what this means, a Trinitarian, a triune God, here in 2 weeks on our Wednesday night, Family Grow Night. So if you want to learn more about that, join us for that. But what we believe scripture teaches is this, that we worship one God, one essence or being, who manifests himself in three distinct persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And while God is the all-encompassing essence or being, we believe that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they have these unique characteristics and qualities that are used to relate to us on a personal level. And right here at Jesus' baptism, we see all three of them come together to look at this, to give divine testimony that Jesus is the Son of God and his life and ministry is going to offer a fresh start spiritually to all who call on his name. You see, the Trinity coming at this moment, it is so much more than just, hey, look, we have a story in the Bible now that we can see the Trinity come together into full fruition. No, it is about revealing the fullness of why Jesus came. That he's not being baptized so he can become the new high priest like Aaron was the high priest. He's not going through all this stuff to establish an earthly kingdom, but that there is a spiritual component to Jesus, and we see a divine testimony, not just a human testimony of John baptizing him in water, but a divine testimony that this is what God has called him to do. And when you and I, when we get baptized in water, yes, we're baptized by a pastor or a father or somebody who is physically putting us under the water, but we're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because even the Lord is giving testimony that, yes, you are a follower of me. I have forgiven you of your sins. You have a fresh start made new in Christ. It reveals the fullness of God in our life. The last thing that Jesus' baptism does when we're baptized in water is that it reveals who Jesus is to others. Reveals who Jesus is to others. You see, this point right here, this thought, it's special because it really brings us into the equation now, right? We've looked at why Jesus' baptism was so important, because it was the start of his earthly ministry. He revealed the truth of the scriptures that he came to fulfill them. He shows the fullness of God, but this point right here, it includes us. It would be a completely different conversation if we just, you know, said, yeah, Jesus got baptized, thank you, Jesus. But one of the ordinances of the church is to be baptized in water. Why do we do that? Well, because our baptism reveals Jesus to others. It reveals that he has given us a fresh and new start in life. It reveals that we believe that what he has said is true in our lives, that he is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It shows the fullness of God taking over our life. It's not just one part. We believe in baptism, which literally means to immerse, full immersion, because God takes over every part of our life. It reveals who Jesus is to others. Just like your moving truck or your wedding rings reveal that you're moving or that you're married, water baptism does the same thing. In John chapter 1, I love what it says. It says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him. This is the baptism account in the book of John. John saw Jesus coming toward him and he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but look at this. I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel. You see, your water baptism is revealing who Jesus is to other people. That's why John was doing it all of these years before the Messiah came, because he thought that being baptized with water so that the Messiah might be revealed to Israel. And that's exactly what happened. See, water baptism wasn't only important for the people who John was baptizing. And water baptism wasn't only important for Jesus so he could reveal himself to those who were there. But your water baptism is also important. Because when you are baptized in water, you are revealing who Jesus is to others. You're publicly acknowledging that Jesus has revealed himself to you. He has made himself known and forgiven you of your sins. You're declaring that you have a fresh start in Christ Jesus because of the transformational work that he has done in your heart. And now you want to reveal who that Jesus is to your friends, to your family, to your community, to your church. Water baptism reveals who Jesus is to others. Jesus' baptism revealed to John and those who were there that he was the Messiah. And when you get baptized, there is no better time than to tell your friends and your family who don't know Jesus that he is the Messiah. You relate with them in revealing Jesus to your world. See, water baptism fully summarizes the picture of why Jesus came to this earth. Jesus says during the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Show them the fullness of God in their life. But water baptism starts way before going and making disciples. It starts before Jesus going to the cross. It starts with including everybody into God's plan of salvation. That he is now the sacrifice, holy and pleasing for the Lord, the perfect Son of God who has been baptized, who is going to the cross. That's why we declare communion as an ordinance because of Jesus' death and resurrection. And then we go into the world and we share the gospel. Water baptism is included in this entire picture as a physical representation and illustration that I have given my life to Jesus. He has given me a fresh start, made me whole and new. My life is devoted to him. I believe in the truth of his word, and I'm going to reveal who he is to other people in my life. What Jesus is telling us to do at the Great Commission is to go make other followers of Jesus by revealing who he is to all nations, just like his baptism did and our baptism did. Jesus' baptism, it revealed who he was. It always points to Jesus. So my challenge to you this morning is simple. What is God speaking to you regarding water baptism? Maybe you're here today and you have not made a public declaration of your faith through water baptism. You can make that decision today. What better way to unite with Christ, who was baptized for your salvation, than by also being baptized to recognize the salvation he has given you? You can make that decision today. All you have to do, come up to me after service, say, Pastor Brandon, I want to get baptized in water, and we will fill up the bucket. We will put it in here. You can invite friends and family who don't know Jesus, people who do know Jesus, and we're going to celebrate that you are making your public declaration that Jesus is the Lord over my life. To spiritually start fresh and declare him as your Lord and Savior and point other people towards him. What is God speaking to you today? Is it time for you to take the next obedient step in your faith and be baptized in water? If so, come speak to me after service. But I want to pray over all of you before Bart comes and does the announcements. God, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you have given us a fresh start, a new life. As we saw last week, Lord, that we repent and turn from our sins, God. We want our sin to be as far as the east is from the west, Lord. We want to turn completely away from it and run toward you. And Lord, the first act of obedience that you ask us to do after that commitment is to be baptized in water, to symbolize the fresh start that your Holy Spirit brings in our life, to symbolize the fullness of God, your salvific plan in our life at work, that you have saved us, redeemed us, and bought us with a price. And we give our lives to you. Lord, I just pray if there's anybody here this morning who has not yet taken the step to be baptized in water, Lord, that you will stir their heart out of obedience and love and adoration for you to make that decision today. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your word. In your holy, mighty name, amen.
Welcome, guest. Thanks. If you're a first-time visitor, thanks for coming. And we encourage you to fill out there some envelopes there in front of you that you can fill out. If I don't see anybody new, but Bill, you can do it anyway. Okay, fifth quarter event. Are you guys supposed to be putting that up there? Give. Hey, there's three ways to give. Hey, I think you guys are messing with me. How dare thee? fifth quarter event, Saturday 17th, September 17th, after the middle school game. Man, free pizza, games, and prizes. Boy, you kids are going to have some fun. Pastor Brandon, he's made all over that. Middle school and high school. Desserts for teachers and staff. Drop off at the church Monday, September 12th by 10 a.m. Sign up in the hallway. If you don't make it, don't worry. Pastor Brandon has it under control. He'll eat it. He actually put that down for me to say. It wasn't up there. Okay, volunteers for peak. The peak. Open Thursday, 3 to 5. Fridays, 1 to 5. 8 to 10 p.m. Fridays, 1 to 5 p.m. and 8 to 10 p.m. Sign up to volunteer for this incredible ministry opportunity. Okay, the next one. Family Grow Night. Every Wednesday night, dinner 5:45 to 6:30. Small groups 6:30 to 7:30. And boy, if you don't come, boy, it's good food. Always good food. It'll be more for me. Okay, now we're ready for the first one. There's three ways to give. We got a give box on the back wall, and you can do it online, and you can do it through our app. Thanks for putting up with me, and there's donuts ready, so I will shush my face.
Oh, man. Thank you, Bart. I appreciate it. I will say, when he was talking about Family Grow Night, he talked about how great the food was, and he said nothing about the teaching. So you use that information as you want to use it. Oh, there you go. That's what it is. Hey, before we dismiss, I have one quick special announcement that we just wanted to let the church know about. As Jimmy shared earlier, as we were acknowledging and praying for the events of 9/11, we live in a crazy and hostile world. And sometimes even in 10 sleep, we can think that we're a little bit sheltered and that these things won't happen here, but you just never know. In fact, I have had multiple Zoom meetings and conversations with people from the Department of Homeland Security, from the FBI, specifically with church leaders who are saying, just with all of the restlessness in our nation, churches are becoming a higher target for hate crimes, for shootings, and all types of different things. And so they have really been stressing that churches really do things to help combat these issues, because we're a gathering place, people of faithful, you know, faithful followers of Christ, and you never know what can happen. I can think of over a dozen shootings that have happened that I know of in this last year. Things that were family related, things that were because it was a church, things that were because it was a predominantly black church or a white church, or even there was somebody in Texas who was coming through and was transient, and the church had been helping him out. Well, he got mad because nobody, the church wouldn't give him actual money. They would just give him food and a place to stay, which is what we do. And he got really mad, came in on a Sunday morning, shot and killed two people, I believe, wounded a couple others before their security team kind of took them down. You may be thinking, Pastor Brandon, why are we talking about this in 10 Sleep, Wyoming? In every single state, including Wyoming, there have been hate crimes towards churches every year for the last 7 years. So we can't say, oh, this is somewhere else, it's not here, because it is. And so with that, our church board of trustees and specific people, we have been talking about what can we do to help keep people safe at church. And so what we are doing is we are starting a process of putting together a safety response team that will be doing lots of various things. Their primary task will be keeping people safe on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, different events that we have. We are going to be meeting. Jimmy is going to be leading that response team and putting that together. We actually have a meeting with Sheriff Rackness and the incoming sheriff, Sheriff Brookwell, to talk about some things regarding that. We're going to be putting together some policies and all of those types of things. You may be thinking, well, you know, are there going to be people with guns in church now and all this stuff? Well, let me tell you, there's probably already people with guns in church. We live in Wyoming. Wyoming statute does say that if you're going to conceal carry in a place of worship, you have to have permission from the lead pastor. And so that's why we want to have the safety team put together specific people who are tasked with protecting people, protecting our children, all of these different types of things. So we just wanted to make you aware that we're starting this process. It's not like we're going to have like guns blazing next week and, you know, all of this kind of stuff. You're not going through metal detectors. We just want you as our church to be aware, because this is kind of a big change that we have to do, especially being on a busy tourist highway. I can tell you from experience, guys, I have had people stop in the church. I have been spat in the face. I have had guns brandished at me. I have had people threaten to kill my wife and do other things. And so this stuff does happen. Thankfully, it's never escalated, but if something did escalate, we just want to be prepared. The other thing the safety response team will do after kind of just initial, you know, protection and safety is we want to establish what happens if somebody in the church has a medical emergency, right? How we're going to take care of that until an ambulance can get there or something like that. Or, what happens if there's a fire? How do we respond to that? And so the safety response team will kind of be an all-encompassing thing. Just the physical safety is what we are focusing on first. So I wanted just to let you all know about that. We're talking, we're having the conversations. If you would be interested in serving on the team, please come and speak to me, speak to Jimmy, and let him know that you're at least interested, and he can get you some more information as we start to put the team together, whether you want to physically be on the team, if you want to help kind of create some of the policies that we're going to be using as a church, we are more than welcome to do that. And so with that said, I just want to make sure, does anybody have any questions about this? I know it's a random interesting thing as we end the service, but something important to talk about. So, well, if you do have any questions, again, feel free to come talk to me, come talk to our board members as well. We value your input. So with that said, that wonderful cheery note, let's go pray a prayer over you. We'll go eat some donuts and drink some coffee. Lord, we just thank you so much for your goodness, for your faithfulness, for who you are. Lord, thank you for revealing yourself to us and dying on the cross so we could live. Lord, may you bless us and keep us. May your face shine upon us. Be gracious in all we say and do until we gather here to meet again in your name. Amen. Be blessed. Have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday for the Family Grow Night, and enjoy the fellowship time.